Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. Today is April 12th, and I'll be reading our morning announcements. We have Sunday school every Sunday at 9 o'clock a.m. We have Bible study on Wednesdays. The doors open at 5 o'clock p.m., and class begins at 5:30 p.m., both in person and on Zoom. Tithes and offering. Just a reminder that walk-around offering is held during morning service. Online giving is still available through Givelify. Today is our Evangelism Sunday. It's spring colors pack the pew. You guys all look lovely in your spring colors. There will be food and fellowship after morning worship service if you would like to stay. April 27th through the 29th is Baptist General Spring Board Meeting. The UMBC Care Ministry. The purpose of the UMBC Care Ministry of our church is to strengthen relationships within our congregation by providing spiritual support, emotional support, encouragement, and supportive presence as needed by our congregation. Come one, come all. You are invited to Vacation Bible School. It's June 15th through June 19th from 5:30 p.m. to 7:15 p.m. It will be held here at UMBC. Classes are available for all ages. Registration began on Sunday, March 29th. If you have any questions, please contact Sister Cynthia Johnson. She's waving her hands from the choir stand. She can also be reached at cynthiaj54@icloud.com. And that concludes our morning announcements. And I'll turn it over to the pulpit.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth and faithfulness endures to all generations. Let's keep that going for just a minute and give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Ain't God good? I'm so grateful for the opportunity to come before you today and praise God with you, because we indeed can make a joyful noise with this breath that he's given us and thank God for all that he has done. For those who may be visiting with us for the first time, we welcome you to Union Missionary Baptist Church. This is our Evangelism Sunday. Although we evangelize every day, we just wanted to have a special day to make sure you feel welcome up in here and welcome you to praise God as he leads you. Let him fill your heart with joy. And even if you get a little down right now, we pray that something will be said or done that will lift your spirits and help you be encouraged in our walk with Christ. Amen. Amen. If you stand with me, we would like to open with the Lord's Prayer. So those of you who are able, please stand, and we're going to recite what's called the Lord's Prayer from Matthew 6, verse 9 through 13. Let us begin. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you will remain standing for just a moment, we're going to have our scripture reading for this morning, which will be coming from Matthew, 22nd chapter, verses 37 through 40, King James Version. Let us read together. It's on the screen. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Union, let's love God and love others. Amen. You may be seated as I turn it over to the hands of our choir. Thank you.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Does anybody have anything to praise God for? This is the day the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice. Hallelujah. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you. We thank God for our guests. We thank God for our worshipers. Amen. Thank you. For those who are guests of our membership, or those who attend, who have come in for our Pack the Pew Evangelistic Outreach Sunday. Let's give God a hand clap of praise for all of our visitors and guests who have come. Amen. Amen. Giving is a part of worship. Amen. Amen. Giving is a part of worship. And Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Amen? Amen. So give, amen, offer unto God because he has blessed you. Amen? Amen. And also the tithe, the tenth of what God has blessed you with. So we just doing it a little different. We used to have the box there in the back, but we're doing the walk around, reinstituting that. Started last Sunday. Amen. Started last Sunday. And the blessing with that is by me reinstituting that, you can get your steps in. Amen. Amen. You can get your steps in. So if you'll please stand up. We're going to come from the rear. If you'll follow the ushers. Amen. Amen. If you need an envelope, ask an usher. They can give it to you. If you don't get it done in time, that's all right. Amen. If you don't get it done in time, you can just give it to one of these persons here standing around, the deacon. Amen. They'll make sure it gets where it needs to go. Amen. Those who are able, you come through. We know that some may still give on Givelify. Amen. Givelify is still there. Amen. Forgive me, I should have prayed already. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just ask your blessing, resources that you us may be used for kingdom building. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Precious privilege that we have to go to our God, our loving Father, in prayer. If you are able, please stand with me as we petition the throne of mercy, knowing that God hears and answers prayer. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come before your presence today with thanksgiving in our heart, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, for the way that you have blessed us and kept us from our earliest existence even unto today, Lord God. Father God, through the many seasons of life, Lord God, you have been an ever-present help in trouble, and for that we say thank you, God. We come before you today, oh Lord, just with that appreciation on our hearts, Lord God, for a soul that's able to cry out to you one more time, Father. We thank you because you love us. We thank you because you've had mercy on us when we didn't even deserve it, Lord God. And we thank you for your grace, that unmerited favor, dear Lord, that we found as we dwelled with you, Lord God. Oh God, I come before you now, dear Lord, interceding on behalf of this great congregation, Lord God, recognizing that my Lord Jesus is interceding on our behalf right now as well, Lord God. And I just pray right now, dear Lord, that you would meet us where we are, Lord God. We pray for your blessing on every family that's represented in this place right now, Lord God. We pray, dear Lord, that you would bless mothers and fathers and daughters and sons, Lord God, that we might be inspired to live our lives in a way which glorify you, Lord God. Help us to understand appropriate obedience, Lord God, but also help us to understand, dear Lord, that we've been raised with a voice to glorify you. And Lord God, give us strength, dear Lord, that we might always seek to honor you in what we do, Lord. Father God, we pray for our pastor in particular and his family, Lord God. We thank you so much, dear Lord, for giving him strength and power and discernment, Lord God, on behalf of your kingdom, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for calling him to lead this flock, and we pray that you will be with him, Lord God. We pray that you will just continue to bless his mind with wisdom, fill his heart with love, Lord God. And dear Lord, help his feet and his preaching be with passion and power that come from your very hand, Lord God. Father God, we pray for our government today, Lord. Oh, Father God, we look upon all the things that's going on in this world, Lord God, and you know it. It burdens our heart, Father. But Father God, we know that you are in control of all things right now, Lord. So we just pray in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you will go before them, Lord God, because you are the one who gives order to every heart, Lord God, and you are the one that can rightly discern the desires of mankind. So Lord God, we pray that you would just fix it. Fix it. Fix it, Lord. Oh, God, we're going to trust you to do that, Lord God, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise as we are assured that you will, oh, Lord. Father God, we pray for that one who's coming to this place, dear Lord, that's dealing with bereavement. Perhaps they've lost a loved one recently, Lord God, because we know that some people woke up yesterday that didn't wake up today, oh, God. Oh, God, we pray that you would have mercy on them right now, Lord God. We pray that you would comfort them as only you are able, Lord God. Touch them in a mighty way, Lord God. Oh, God, help them in their time of grief, recognizing, Lord God, that you are with us even in the valley of the shadow of death, Lord God. You will never leave us, Lord God, and help us be assured by that fact to give us hope, dear Lord, that we might see the sun on the other side, Lord God. Father God, we pray for those who are in the sick rooms on today, Lord God. Some perhaps even in this very four walls are dealing with sickness in their body right now. Lord God, we will pray that you will touch with your power, Lord God, in a mighty way that they may know that they've been touched by you, Lord God. And according to your will, we pray that you will bring healing, Lord God. We pray, dear Lord, that you will make meaning of what's going on in our life right now, Lord God, that we might recognize that this has drawn us closer to you, Lord God. We thank you for all the many ways, dear Lord, that you take care of us and you keep us, oh God. Oh, Father God, there are so many other things that we can call upon you for today, but we're going to trust in the fact that you know them all, Lord God. Those prayer requests that are spoken and unspoken, Lord God, we pray that you would touch each and every one, Lord God. But you know the very hairs on our head, but you also know our very hearts, Lord God, and you know it in truth, Lord God. So please touch. Please heal. Please deliver. We ask it all, O Lord, in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let every heart say together, amen. Amen. You may be seated as I turn it over to the hands of our pastor, Dr. Unique Williams.
Amen, 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 amen. Will you put your hands together in praise of our God? Amen. Amen. We're transitioning into the portion of the spoken word of our worship service. I want to take this time first to say thank you. Again, some may have come in for you attending and worshiping with us on today. Those who are able, you can also take a plate to go, amen. After service, you're invited to come and fellowship with us or just get a plate to eat, amen, and leave if you want to do that. We're open. We're just glad that you're here, amen, amen. And then maybe next time you'll stay 30 seconds. Next time, 40 seconds. Amen. If you don't stay at all, that's fine too. Amen. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, we are open and welcoming to you. Amen. Amen. So those after service, you can go out this door that says exit after service. And those who are able, amen. Those who are able, please go downstairs. Those who are able, amen. Please go downstairs. If you're not able, meaning you can't do it, amen. That's all right. But we have not, you don't want to do it, amen. That you can't do it. We have accommodations for you upstairs, amen. Amen. Somebody didn't catch that. Not that you don't want to do it. You just can't hit them stairs, amen. We have accommodations for you upstairs. Amen. Amen. I want to give a special shout out and thank you to our men's ministry. On yesterday had our first outing of the year, maybe a year and a half of fellowship with another church. And they showed up and showed out in great numbers. It's not about numbers, but they came on out on Saturday morning. So let's give God a hand clap of praise to our men's ministry. We know Saturdays are busy, so those who are able, we got a lot of stuff going on. I'm a father of three. I got stuff going on, and a husband of one, a wife. Amen. Amen. That's all I can handle. Can't even handle that one. Amen. God is good, so I know people have busy schedules. The Bible does say give honor where honor is due. I'm paraphrasing that, but so we want to honor our mayor of Bloomington. Amen. He's come in and visited with us today. We want to say thank you for our mayor coming in. Giving honor as governor official. Amen. Amen. We thank God for him. If you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, if you can turn to that. Romans chapter 8. We'll start reading at verse 28 and I'll stop at 31. But if we can prepare for Romans chapter 8. Put a little song verse in your mind. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there is no other. Simply Jesus is. How many believe that? How many believe that? That Jesus is the way. Oh Jesus, Jesus
is the answer
for the world.
For the world today.
above him.
Above him there's no other.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus is the way.
Oh, Jesus is.
Jesus is.
Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 31.
For the world.
Chorus says above.
Above him there's no other.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus is the way.
Can you praise him? Can you sing that one time with me? Oh, Jesus,
Jesus is the answer
for the world.
For the world today.
Song says above him.
Above him there's no other.
Oh,
Jesus is the way.
Feel that in your spirit. Oh, Jesus.
Jesus is the answer
for
the world today. Above him there's no other.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus is the way.
If you're able, if you can stand. Romans chapter 8, King James Version is what I shall be reading from. The question may be, why is he reading from the King James Version? Because there's still some in this generation went to Sunday school and learned the Bible verses. What verse did you learn? Version, King James Version. Amen? Amen, amen. So no version is better or worse. That's why I do it. Amen? Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. The key verse is verse 31. Romans 8, 28 says this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I could just stop right there. But for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Key verse, then I'm done reading. What shall we then say to these things? Just want to put this in your spirit. If God be for us, who can be against us? Somebody ought to help me there. Let's read that again. It says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, somebody not with me. Can you come on, holler at your boy just for a few minutes? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. You may be seated. Amen. 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 I just want to say that there's some stuff going on in this world. Somebody is listening to the news and you human, and you don't want them to stop blowing up United States. Amen. Blooming to normal. Blow no. Amen. Don't want them to start coming this way. Iran and Israel and everybody, and the language that the president uses and others use, it can be alarming. Have you ever felt like you've been mistreated, your back against the wall, nobody is there to help you and assist you? I'm not talking about just physically. I'm not talking about a fight, amen, or fisticuffs. I'm not talking just about that. What I'm talking about is mentally, has there been some people not been there for you mentally? You've felt like you've been on an emotional island. Nobody is there to support you. Look at your life just for about a second and a half and kind of get what I'm saying. And when I give you what we're talking about today, I need you to reflect on your life and realize this to what you just reflected on. You're looking at your troubles. You're looking at the islands you have been on. You're looking at the struggles that you have had and you are having. What the preacher is going to say today is this. God has your back. God has your back. Why? Because you have divine or godly assurance. God has your back. Can you say that with me? God has your back. I'm going to mess with you just one more time. Can you say this now? Listen to me. Listen to me. Say, God has my back. Y'all, somebody didn't do that. You need to point to yourself and say, God has my back. Yeah, don't we have to remind ourselves that as we look at scripture? Because here in Romans 8:31, the key verse, it says this. What then shall we say? That stuff that
that Paul was talking about back up in verse 28 when he said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And it keeps on going about justification and stuff. But then he says this, and he gets, what then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, then who can be against us? 2026, another way of saying that is God has your back. God's unwavering support empowers us to face all of life's challenges, not just go through it and feel like we are alone. You can have confidence in your storm. You can have courage in your storm. You can know that God is not just sitting on the throne, that his spirit is dwelling among you and in you. God has empowered us to face the challenges of life. Why? Because it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Walk me just for minutes. Just walk with me for a few minutes. Imagine that you're there on the shore of a beach or a lake or something. And there's the wind going on. And there's some turbulence in the sea or the lake. And there's some big waves. And it's very frightful. It's very rigid. And the waves are crashing violently against the rocks and the shore. And you look at that and you feel small and insignificant because there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. And you see that you're overwhelmed by just thinking about the power of nature and think about all of the hurricanes and things that has happened where the storms and the water has gotten to a certain condition where it just destroys stuff. Now picture this. Picture a trusted friend standing there beside you while you have your emotional party. Oh, help me somebody. I'm not the only one. Your pity party. Anybody just stand there on the shores of life and had a pity party? Yeah. And picture yourself while you're having your pity party and looking at the storms of life and how big the waves are, and they're beating on your shores of finances, beating on your shores of relationships, beating on your mental health, and just keep on hitting and hitting. But you have a friend standing there beside you and reminding you that you are not alone. Yeah. You notice that the friend is not taking the waves away, is not stopping the storm, is just saying this, I'm standing here with you. You're not by yourself. This is a glimpse of what it means when we say God has your back. He's not going to take away the storms of life. In fact, you need some turbulence. You need some struggles because in our church tradition, we say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I'd be. But you can't have that testimony if it had not been for the Lord, if you hadn't been through anything. Now, I'm one of them. You're not just going to stand in line and volunteer to go through stuff line. But God is going to allow you to go through some stuff so you can have a testimony. He will do it. Won't he will? Yes, he has. What does it mean for someone to have your back? Because we have to be clear about that. Some of us have our different definitions of what having the back is. To express what it means to have someone's back, it originates from a military term. And what it means is that soldiers who are positioning themselves to guard their comrades' vulnerable back. While they are fighting, while they are in combat, while they're going, the other soldier is ensuring them and giving them confidence that they can keep fighting because the other comrade is watching their back. They can focus in on the enemy and they can fight the enemy. And the term says, I've got your back, meaning I'm watching so nobody can sneak. I'm about to shout right here. I'm watching your back so nobody can sneak up on you. I'm right here with you that if they get to you, I can take care of it for you. I'm your friend standing there. That's what having the back means, that I'm looking out for stuff you can't see. And when it comes your way, I'm going to take care of it for you. We need to understand that what God is, that unwavering loyalty. Look at yourself and the stuff that you're doing. I didn't say stuff you done. Stuff you gonna do. Stuff you doing right now. Your attitude, your thought process. Amen. Stuff that you need to work on, but God still loves you, doesn't he? He's still loyal to you. He still supports you. You woke up this morning because I'm looking right at you. And you need to know that God, regardless of the circumstances of life, he really does, my brother and sister, he has your back. especially in times of adversity and conflict and when you are most vulnerable, you need to understand that God has your back. What does that mean? What does that mean? And I got three things, and you'll say, yeah, Reverend, you're right about that. It's the first thing, when somebody has your back, you feel protected. Any amens on that? If somebody tells me that they have my back, when I look back there, they're there. Doesn't matter what angle I'm looking at. Yeah, when you have my back, you're right there. And you know, when you're right there in arm's reach, saying, here I am. Come on, help me, somebody. The first thing, if somebody, I'm trying to help somebody, because sometimes we use terms and really don't think about that term. Somebody say, I'm your friend. I got your back. We got this, girl. We gonna go through this together. Then when you're going through, there ain't no together. Amen? Amen. So we had to look at the first point of what it means to have somebody's back, and that means protection. Standing up for someone when they are criticized, when they go through some opposition, when they're going through some stuff. I'm not just talking about when they hungry and need a ham sandwich. I'm talking about when they stressed and emotional distraught and got chaos going on and just need a listening ear and somebody to say, that a girl, that a boy, a pat on the back, a hug, just to help them know it's going to be all right. Willing to defend them and step up for them. Protection. It's not just physical protection, but somebody's going to help you protect your emotions and your thought process and protect you from how Satan comes at you in different ways. That's protection. If somebody says they have your back, that's what it means, is they're willing to protect you, not part-time, but all the time. I even tell my family, my wife, my children, my siblings, and my parents, they're the only one that got this kind of family plan with me. Amen. As I said, yeah, I'm going to defend you, even if I ain't got nothing to say. But then when we get behind closed doors, I'm going to let it rip. That's the family plan. Amen. Why you get us in there? I've been in some fights with siblings. Amen. Amen. On behalf of siblings, and be like, what are we fighting about? Amen. Amen. But when I was standing there, I'm their brother. I stand and I protect them. Amen. Amen. That's protection. But God spiritually protects us and keeps us and sustains us. So if somebody says they have your back, that means they are willing to stand in a position of protection. And I'm not always talking about physical fighting. They're in support. The next thing, you know, you go say he's right already. The next thing is, watch this. If somebody say, I have your back, that means you can rely on them. Can I use a big word? Reliability. Amen. Amen. Say that with me. That's a good word. Reliability. If somebody say, I love you, I'm with you, we're going to be together, I'm your road dog, I'm your friend, etc., etc. The first thing you're going to look for is if they have a spirit of protection when it comes to you. The next thing is, are they reliable? Can you depend on them? Can they be present in moments of need? Can they just call and check up on you and say, how is doing? Or every time you see them, they want something. That's not reliable. Reliable is you can depend on somebody. You can call them even at 3 a.m. in the morning and say, I'm going through this. And they just wipe out their eyes and they stand there with you. They're reliable. Protection. Reliability. The next thing, if I ain't got your own protection and reliability, what it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And we're looking at God having your back. The last thing is this Proverbs 3:5-6 thought is trust. Trust in Proverbs 3:5-6 is the word is leaning post. And what it is when you trust something, you can lean on it. And the more you lean on it and it holds you up, the more you trust that particular object. So if somebody says they have your back, that means you can lean on them and they're going to hold you up. That means you can have emotional conversation with them. You can tell them all your troubles. You can have an idea and they'll at least hear you out. Amen. And you realize that friends, matter of fact, I have friends that have different lenses than me. They see things differently than me because that means that holds me accountable. I don't want somebody that always saying, yeah, let's do it, whatever, yeah. I need somebody that if I say, let's go jump off the cliff, no, have you thought about that? Yeah. We want somebody that's going to be a friend and walk with us and talk with us, and we can have a deep relational bond where we can rely on them as a leading post. Reverend, why did you go through those three terms? It's because as we extract that verse of God having your back and Paul saying it this way, if God is for us, who can be against us? I need you to look at some people that you say have your back. Have you seen unlimited protection? I can answer no. Have you seen 100% reliability from a human being? I can answer no. Can you lean on them 100% of the time? No. Why? Because folk got to work. People got to sleep. People got stuff to do. They're not going to be there all the time. But can I let you know of somebody who's there 24/7, who has your back 24/7, 365, 366 in the leap year? His name is Jesus. In Romans 8, the Apostle Paul addresses the believers in Rome, reminding them of the incredible love and security they have in Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus, the Son of God? What did he do? He died on Calvary's cross. He had a dead body, and his dead body was put into the tomb, and by the power of God, he was raised from the dead. Why is that important? It's because we don't have to fear the ultimate result of this life, which is death, because Jesus, as we read, is the firstborn among many to transition from flesh to spiritual. And this chapter is a crescendo of assurance that we have hope. We don't have to worry about the pains and worries and the challenges of this life, because this text lets us know as an affirmation that God is for us no matter what it is, no matter what we're going through. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. In other words, God have us back. Let me read that again. And we know, 28. That all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Just you and me. Can I talk to you? Just you and me. All things work together for good to them that love God. Let me read that again. Work together for good to them that love God. Just you and me, right? That don't mean it's always going to feel good. It's working for the good. But what you're going through is not always going to feel good. It's not always going to be comfortable. And that's when you have to realize what Paul is talking about. If God is for us, who can be against us? Because is there somebody here that's been through some times where you know it's working for the good, but it's not feeling good right now? Can I give you another thing? Just you and me. It don't even look good. It's working for the good, but it always don't look good. But get some assurance. What's that assurance? If God is for you, who can be against you? Because this verse looks at this chapter in Romans 5 through 8, where Paul builds up on the teachings of justification by faith, meaning how are we made right with God through our faith, not by working. So don't get it twisted that because you attend church or you do religious things, because you pray every day or you read every day or do religious activities, that makes you in right relationship with God. That's good. God wants you to be more mature and know him more. But if you are not obedient to what you do, to what you read, if you can't see that going to church is making a change in your behavior where you're living a Christian standard, then you know different than anybody else. And this chapter lets us know that God has our back. And Paul asked this rhetorical question, meaning a question that doesn't need to be answered, and leads us to reflect on the implications of God's support in our lives and his provisions in our lives. And somebody in here came with some worry on your mind, some stuff you was thinking about. And can I let you know, you don't have to worry, is because this text lets you know that you have God's support. His supportive presence, his supportive guidance. But sometimes you just need to be still and know that he is God. Can I do a personal testimony? I like walking through the woods, nature, things of that nature, and I noticed something. I like to sit next to the lake or the pond or whatever, and you sit there long enough, you'll see fish jump, and you see the squirrels jumping, and you see birds jumping from tree to tree. And I learned a long time ago that I'm walking through the woods, but for me to observe and things settle down, I have to stop moving. If I want to see the birds around me flying and being around, I have to stop moving. Because when I move, they consider me a threat. And they don't go to their natural way of doing things. So if I want to be observed and see some things, I need to be still and sit down and just watch. And if you want to watch and see what God is doing, maybe my sister and brother, you just need to be still and sit back and let things settle down and watch. Then you'll be able to see what God is doing. And what he's doing is saying he's doing this text is he has your back. That doesn't mean it's always going to feel good. Doesn't mean it's always going to look good. But he has your back. Because his word is true. If God is for you, who can be against you? So as we look at this verse, Paul transitions from these eternal decrees and the rhetorical question. And then he says something that affirms God's unassailable favor towards his elect, which is you and me who have accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior in the midst of suffering, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of spiritual warfare, in the midst of stuff. One thing is true. Like Paul said, if God is for you, who can be against you? It's not conditional. It's not conditional. But a confident assurance and certainty that no matter what day or time it is, God is for you. God is for us. God is for you. He died on Calvary's cross. He was the mediator for you and for me. He's sitting at the right hand of God being an advocate for us right now because of his work on the cross and because he was resurrected from the dead. And verse 32 says that he that spared not his own son but delivered it up for us all. He supports us. He cares for us. It's not conditional. It gives us confidence and certainty that no matter what goes on, God has our back. So first thing I need you to realize and understand, and if you're taking notes to write this, is that since I've made the point that God supports you, the first thing I need to get and put in your wagon as you leave here today is God's support is unwavering. I need you to put that in your spirit is because you may be going through some things that's shaking your boat right now. That's some things that go in your mind. That's some stuff or maybe somebody else's life. You see some stuff going on, but you need to know that God is supportive and you gave me an amen on that. But let me know you about his support. His support is not going anywhere. It unwavers. The phrase, if God is for us, it means an unwavering, watch this, commitment from God. That means he's committed to your suffering circumstances. He's committed to your conflict. He's committed to your life struggles. Whatever is going on, he's committed to have your back. If God is for us, signifies unwavering. It isn't conditional or based upon your performance. Because if we look at my performance and your performance, if God did an evaluation on all of us, ooh, don't you get quiet on me. You know, every quarter or every period where it's evaluation time, if he did the 1 through 5, 5 mean excellent, all of us get maybe a 1.2. Yeah. It's not based upon our performance. It's not based upon our knowledge. It's simply because he loves us. How do you know that? It's because of love. Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall what? Not perish, but have everlasting life. Love of God is by giving his son. That's unwavering. He's not taking it there. He's given Jesus to us. And the things Paul refers to, the things that Paul refers to encompasses our suffering, our trials, our situations, the narrative of God's redemptive plan for each and every one of us, that God wants to get us back from our sinful nature. It's unwavering. When I think about this, I think of the relationship between Jonathan and David. I think about the friendship between Jonathan and David. Jonathan was a prince. He should have got the position. But Jonathan supported David, who was the anointed future king. He remained resolute despite Saul's murderous jealousy. Jonathan risked his life in support of warning David of the danger and renewing their covenant between them. Ultimate support. Jonathan said, David, I've got your back. I'm your friend. You can trust me. I'm going to provide protection. You can rely on me. That's a good human example. I'm also reminded of another example where we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were Hebrew youth, and they stood unwavering together when King Nebuchadnezzar got together with his idolatry ways and wanted them to bow down, and they simply said, no, we're not going to waver. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, but even if he doesn't come through like we want him to, we know he's able. That's unwavering. Is there somebody in here who's sick, dealing with some sickness and some health? Even if he don't do it the way you want him to do, he's able. Somebody dealing with some stuff on your job, relationship, some stuff going on in your mind. You just got stuff where your stuff got stuff and that stuff got stuff. You just dealing with stuff. You so sick and tired of being sick and tired. But God is for you. And even if he don't fix it the way you want it fixed, he's able. He's still able. That goes back to the point. It's not conditional. Able don't run out. It's even better than honey. Honey will sit right up there in the cabinet. You done forgot about it for years. But you break it on out, it's still right there. Got to taste. Don't miss nothing. And God's ability to be able don't ever lose its strength or power. So if he able on a sunny day, he's able on a stormy day. He's able. Psalm 118:6 says, the Lord is on my side. 118:6 says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Yeah, we got to understand in our daily lives, we often encounter doubts and fears. And we need to understand that God is unwavering in the way he encourages us and allows us to face challenges, simply to go back to what I said. I want you to have the testimony I had. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? If you don't know how to wash clothes, it's because you've never went to the laundromat. If you don't know how to wash clothes, because you've never been to the washboard. If you don't know how to wash clothes, because you never went to the washing machine. If you don't know how to dry them, it's because you never put them in the dryer. You may know about it. You may know where the laundromat is. But you really don't know how to do it till you do it. You won't learn that you shouldn't put red socks in white until you see somebody do it and you do it yourself. Help me, somebody. You never know how good God is until you step out there with him. You may know where he is. You may have heard him. You may have seen somebody pray to him. May have heard somebody preach about him. But you really don't know God and how wavering it is until you try him for yourself. Consider the story of David and Goliath. David faced a giant who was older and bigger than he was and instilled fear in everybody. But look at David. He didn't look at what everybody else looked at. He didn't look at the size of the opponent. He didn't look at the conditions of the opponent, because everyone else did that. But he looked back at what God had already done. He had a testimony. It was the youth. Sometimes think that the youth, because they don't have the years and miles that you have, that they not as good as you are. But this youth, David, look back at what God had done for him. the youngest boy, the one that had to go out there and find. He said, I remember when I was out there keeping my father's sheep. There was a bear. I snatched that lamb out of that bear's mouth. There was a lion. I snatched that lamb out that lion's mouth. The same God that gave me the victory in that circumstance is the same God that's going to help me beat this giant. The same God help you pass that test you know you didn't study for is the same God that'll get you through. The same God, mama and daddy didn't find out what you did over there when you did it with this and that and them, is the same God that'll keep you and sustain you. Yeah, you know you said some words and nobody heard it. God kept you then. He gave you grace and mercy. Doesn't matter your age. He's the same God. Should have been dead messing with them folk, but God allow you to hear and end up in here listening to me and praising God. Young or old, you ought to say, thank you, Jesus. He's the same God that will keep you day by day. So look at what God has done, is what the preacher's saying. Like David did. Look at what God has done for you. And you can move forward based upon that. Matter of fact, there's some tests that I studied for. And I got F's. There's stuff that I prayed for. And I didn't study for that test. And I got A's. And I can say, thank you, Lord. If it had not been for your mercy and your grace, I would not have made it through. So young people, your life is significant. You are of value. The stuff you go through is not less because you are in sixth grade or you 12 or 10. That's what you're supposed to do, be in school. So if people ask you what you're doing and stuff like that, your grades and all that kind of stuff, and that bother you, don't you worry about that. And I know you've told me, said, Reverend, folk always ask me for my schedule and all this kind of stuff and how my grades are. They'd be mad if I started asking them about their schedule. Did you go to work? Did you get an evaluation? What did you get on your evaluation? Are you showing up every time? You go to work? Do you pay all your bills? What's your credit score? Oh, it's getting quiet. It's all right to look at youth and ask them about all their business, but if they flipped around, started asking about you, your schedule, and what you doing, you be coming to their parents, oh, they dealt disrespectful. Well, let me move on. The second one is, God supports and transforms our perspective. The rhetorical question that is asked here, who can be against us, invites us to reevaluate our circumstances and our adversities, our adversaries, the things we go to. Paul emphasizes that no external force can ultimately prevail over us when we are aligned with God's purpose. Philippians 4:13 simply says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. It just keeps on reinforcing the idea that our strength comes from God, not from ourselves, and allows us to rise above our challenges. So when we face opposition and discouragement, we must remind ourselves of the truth that God has our back. Do you remember the parting of the Red Sea that you can find in Exodus 14? Do you remember that? Israel, redeemed from the Egyptian bondage in fulfillment of God's covenant promise, faced Pharaoh's pursuing chariots. The chariots were behind them, an overwhelming external force, and yet aligned with God's purpose, God had their back. The elders will say he separated it and allowed them to walk on dry land. God is able. Fear not, brothers and sisters, because God is able. My last thing that I want to say is that God supports our offering and is offering eternal assurance. Meaning you don't have to worry about what's going on here in this world. Paul's declaration in Romans 8:31 says it's not merely about our present circumstances and what we're going through right now. It points toward the eternal security, what's going to happen after a while. If God is for us in this life, that's why he allows you to go through some stuff, then you can say, I know he has my back when I get to heaven's gates. How much more secure are we in our relationship with God for eternity? Simply, you can look what he's done for you right now and know that he's had your back here. He has your back in glory in heaven. John 10:28 says, I give them eternal life. He gives you eternal life. And they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. This affirms that God's support extends beyond our earthly struggles into eternal life. So what you are going through is just a lesson to let you know that when this earthly tabernacle, when this body stops working, it's all right, because God has your back, not just here on earth, but eternally, to be with him in relationship forever. Why am I saying this? I hear this: Iran, Israel, gas prices, food prices, this and that. You know what I've changed? Absolutely nothing. Why? Because my God don't change. God kept me yesterday. He gonna keep me today. God done kept you yesterday. He gonna keep you today. God don't change. Show you how man is. Have a little argument, gas prices go up. They bump heads. Then we got to pay $18 for a bag of Doritos. But God's love ain't changing. The price ain't changed. The price is still zero. Why? Because Jesus paid it all on Calvary for us. We don't have to do anything but believe. So in a world filled with uncertainty, knowing that God supports us, not only here on earth, but eternally, and gives us assurance that if we believe in him, that not only will he take care of this present day, but in the day to come. It means that even in death, we are secure in his love. And this assurance must motivate you to live boldly for Christ, to share his goodness, to share his good news, to share his gospel, that he died for mankind's sin. And there is hope through Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. So then I can love God and I can love others. I can wake up tomorrow, the next day, and the next day, because I know this thing. If God be for us, who can be against us? God has your back, no matter what the circumstances. And prayerfully, I made this clear. Because he's showing you here on earth that he has your back here, he's showing you that he has your back through death. That when you transition into your eternal heavenly role, that God will still be faithful even in your death, where Jesus Christ is the firstborn among many. And when it's your turn to be born again, that's all right. You transitioned. I'm not talking about the conversion. I'm talking about transitioned into the heavenly body, that God's word assures us that we have divine assurance that not just for this world, but eternally, he has our back. So let us trust. Let us trust in who he is and what he's done for us. Is there someone here today? Meditate on your life. Meditate on your past, on your future. And look at right now. This is hope. This is an opportunity where you see God's protection. You see God's reliability. An opportunity to trust in him. And that can be completed by having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Is there one on today as we stand that would like to give their life to Jesus Christ on today? You may come down, my brother. You may raise your hand, my sister or my brother, if you would like to come and connect with us on today. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then you'll be a candidate for baptism. Come into the fellowship. You can come by letter of Christian Experience if you want to connect with this body of believers. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? You may come at this time. You may raise your hand if you desire. Is there someone like to join in this fellowship? Give your life to Jesus. Is there one? Is there one? Amen, amen. We thank God for each and every one of you, for God is worthy of all of our praise. And remember this, that God has your back. Can you say this with me? God has my back. Can you say it again? God has, point to yourself, my back. God has my back. God has my back. God has my back. He's for you. Who can be against us? Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. I'm also going to bless the food as I go. Those who want to stay, we invite you to stay. If you don't want to stay, that's all right. You can grab something to go. Amen. Amen. The reason why I am begging you to go and grab something, because they will give it to me if it's left over. Amen. And you see, I need to miss a couple of meals. Amen. Amen. So help a pastor out. Help a preacher out. At least go grab a plate, a chip, something. Amen. 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 Help pastor out on today. Heavenly Father, we come right now thanking you for your glory, thanking you for who you are, and through your word reminding us, Lord, that you have us back. If you be for us, who can be against us? Right now, Lord, we pray for all those who have came and able to connect with us on today. We ask blessings upon the fellowship that is continuing after service and the food. We ask blessing upon the food, those that prepared, those who receive. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Now may the grace of God, sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, rest and abide with each and every one of us. Let us say amen. 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 Go with God. Go in peace.